Hello, hello everyone. Kelly here with a new episode. I know it's been a while. I'm excited though for my new guest, a new friend, who is here to talk about her experience with having an explant. If you're not familiar with the term, an explant is referring to having implants, breast implants specifically removed. It's not a term you necessarily hear often, but it is something that is becoming more of a conversation piece, especially in the holistic world, as more and more women are experiencing the same types of symptoms and meeting people within communities that are then bringing to light that they might have something called breast implant illness. Now, Noelle is going to talk about this in this episode, how unfortunately so many people, when they bring this up to their doctors, are gaslit or told that breast implant illness is not real. But we are here to discuss today how it is very real for many, many women, and that is why the number of explants is actually going up. I did a little digging because I wanted to see some numbers. I thought this was really fascinating. Before we get started with this interview, some interesting stats on you here in the US on breast implants. So the Aesthetic Plastic Surgery National Data Bank is where I'm getting these. These are the 2020 statistics, the most recent I could find. In 2020, amazingly, honestly, to my surprise, especially with the pandemic going on, women still managed to have 252,000 and 22 specifically, breast augmentations in the year of 2020. Over $1 billion was spent on breast implants in 2020. How amazing is that? I mean, amazing in a wild sense. But what's also interesting is that there were actually 49,631 explants. So, I mean, you're looking at that right now, 20%, one-fifth of the women going into, or one-fifth the number of, right, of implants were explants. So obviously we can see that this explant surgery is becoming more and more popular. And now these are true explants. These are not explants then getting new implants, because obviously we talk about this in the episode that, you know, it is recommended to have your implants changed every 10 years. And many women actually don't do that. So that is a separate number. There were actually 100,000 people, 109,000 to be exact, who had their breast implants removed and then also new ones put in. So really interesting to think about plastic surgery in general, but specifically breast implant procedures, especially with the number of autoimmune diseases that we have on the rise. We are getting close to 1 in 3 people having autoimmune diseases, and also just breast cancer statistics and all sorts of complications that women can have due to breast implants, even cancer itself. So this is a really important topic, and I know that this is something that a lot of people are unfamiliar with, or you could be listening somewhere in the world thinking about getting implants, questioning it, wondering. You could be sitting somewhere in the world right now and you have maybe opened yourself up to a more holistic lifestyle and you actually have implants and you're now considering getting them out, but you have questions and you're afraid to tell anyone you have implants, or you're afraid to tell anyone that you want to get explants, or whatever it might be. I know that this is going to touch some people and it's going to create some questions and conversation. I'm really excited for that. So without further ado, here is my interview with Noelle, and I hope you enjoy.
So that is how I kind of wanted to start it all. So, well, actually, I wanted to start with, can you kind of take me back to when you first decided to get implants? What did that look like for you, like in terms of finding a doctor, options of like type of implants you got and things like that? Kind of what did that part of the journey?
Very good question. I've been so immersed in my explant journey that I forgot all about getting them put in. But I got them put in June 1st of 2018. Okay. And before that, I remember why I wanted them. I had always had small breasts, and it's something like all the women in my family were small. My mom got implants when I was maybe 10, I remember I was young and I didn't understand. And back then the process was so rigorous. Like they were brutal on you.
Yeah.
And she had like purple and yellow and brown bruises. And I remember her not being okay.
Yeah.
After she had hers put in. But I mean, hers were beautiful and I knew how small she was too. And I was like, ugh, am I going to be that small when I get older? And sure enough, I was. But I also got into fitness. I was really, really into it. And at the time I was following fitness models on my Instagram. And that was like all that consumed my social media were these fitness models. And all of them were competing in bodybuilding. And at the time, that was all I knew in the fitness realm. And so I felt like in order for me to not look masculine, I needed to have breast implants if I was going to have muscle.
Yeah.
And I idolized these women, like just thought the world of them. And I was like, well, I want to be able to be like them. So I need to enhance myself because that's just something that you do if you're in that industry. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the bodybuilding thing didn't quite work out because I was very self-conscious about just being in a bikini in general with my body because I wasn't as fit as I wanted to be.
Yeah.
And the thought of walking out on a stage and being judged based on my body and like bending over and shaking my butt was like, not me.
Yeah. Right.
At all. But I remember a friend of mine was getting married and she asked me to be a bridesmaid. And at the time I had just gotten into CrossFit and I didn't follow enough CrossFitters on Instagram yet to realize that none of them had implants and they were beautiful without them and very strong. So I was still kind of following the same old people on Instagram. But I went to try on bridesmaids' dresses. And that was the most deflating feeling ever when trying on dresses. They fit me everywhere. My back was bigger because I was doing a lot of upper body exercises. So my back filled out the dresses. So in order for dresses to fit my back, the bra size had to be bigger.
Yeah.
And so I was left with nothing but just like saggy boobs in these dresses. And I looked at my mom in the dressing room and I said, I'm going to get implants before this wedding. And sure enough, my sister worked with a girl who's a hairstylist. So my sister's a hairstylist. And the girl that she worked with had just gotten hers done. And my sister was like, oh, my sister's wanting to get breast implants. And so her friend said, well, they're running a deal. It's the summer, which is like their slowest time because everybody wants to be in a bikini.
Yeah.
She said, they're running a deal. I think it was like $100 or $200 off or something on implants. And so at the time, I didn't know very much about the different kinds of implants. So I just went to the same doctor as this girl who was based in Ballantyne. At the time, I lived in Matthews, North Carolina. And so I went and had a consultation with Dr. Yanez in Charlotte. Great dude. Very, very nice. He explained to me the difference between saline, silicone, and then the gummies. And he said pretty much like the saline implants they here. So for somebody who is athletic, that's going to be using a lot of chest muscle. That wouldn't be the best option. One, because saline water is corrosive and it could rupture. And so it could rupture, it could wrinkle. So I said, okay, that's not safe. The gummies are more of like a mold. So if you imagine just like an egg shape that doesn't change form at all, that's usually used for women who need reconstructive surgery after having a mastectomy. Gummies are also the highest rated for causing cancer and like the most complications for breast implants.
Wow.
So then I was like, okay, well, silicone is silicone. So if you think about like silicone molds that you might use for things, like they're really flexible. It's a little bit more, more dense material and is better for athletes is how he described it. And so I said, okay, that's less likely to rupture. It has the most natural feel and look to them. So I said, that sounds good. So while in his office, he had different sizes of the implants for me to try on with the bra, which was a weird experience.
Yeah.
It's literally like you remember stuffing your bra as a little girl.
Right.
So I tried on the different sizes of silicones and they all looked ridiculous on me because you're used to seeing how you look without them. So he was like, just keep in mind, they're going to be under the muscle. So they're not going to be as big because the muscle is pressing down on the implant.
Gotcha.
So I told him, I said, I don't want them extremely big because I still need to be functional as an athlete. I want them to look natural. And so nobody knows that I have implants. So I think based on my size, which I'm very petite, I think I got like 320 cc's, which for some perspective, somebody who is, say, like just a little bit of a larger build, but still somebody who's petite could get like 600 cc's.
Gotcha.
And it looked normal on them. So the amount is different based on body type.
Okay.
But anyway, he just recommended, I don't remember. Oh, something, the brand was like, oh my goodness, what was it? They were like Magellan's or
yeah,
something like that.
Okay.
He just recommended the brand. I didn't really pick it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the total cost for just getting them put in was about $5,000.
Okay.
So it wasn't bad for making a lifelong decision.
Right.
And so I didn't know at the time, you're supposed to get them replaced every 10 years because they, they technically expire. So you're supposed to get them replaced every 10 to 15. Sometimes people will wait a little bit longer, but most women will just keep them in their whole lives and never change them. And that's when you really run in, really run into some problems.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that was my experience getting them put in.
You actually didn't really have your implants very long. So it's only been, what, like 4 years till you had them out?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. It was not long at all. And I was already planning on getting them out like after 2 years.
Wow. Okay. So did you, so kind of led you to start questioning, did you actually have symptoms, illnesses, things that were going on in your body that made you go, I wonder if this is connected? Or were you just kind of starting to research and find out more about their potential like toxicity?
I would say my first thought process was being active. They really got in the way of just CrossFit in general.
Yeah.
Lots of like pull-ups and dips and push-ups, things involving the upper body. And every time I would do a push-up, or a dip, they would split. And so the way they get it under the muscle is they cut the muscle, off to the side diagonally, and then they insert it that way, but they can't reattach the muscle to, the ribs. So it just kind of stays open. So anytime you do a ring dip, they kind of slide out.
That's
underneath your armpit. Yeah. And so my physical therapist that I have been going to for years, he explained it as when you get implants under the muscle, it's pretty much like living with a pulled muscle permanently. So it can't recover. And so that leads to muscle like corrections or
like an overcorrection.
Exactly. So in doing so, I ended up just swimming one day and dislocated my shoulder, just literally swimming, the least impact thing you could possibly do, dislocated my shoulder because of the overcompensation from the muscles from my implants. It was wild. And that was like a year recovery. And I was like, okay, these implants are really ruining my life.
Yeah.
Physically as an athlete. And then I started to get really, really sick. This was 2 years after. I would get sick all the time. Like every 2 weeks, I have like, it was almost like getting your period every month. I get some kind of sickness every single month. And I had moved in with my now husband. And I was like, well, maybe it's because I moved and he has two dogs. And yeah. I'm just not used to so much dog hair because we have two huskies. So then I started looking into maybe it could be an allergy. Maybe I'm allergic to the dogs or maybe there's mold in the house. And so I really started researching just like anything other than my breast implants of like something that could be causing me to get sick.
Yeah.
And then, you know, through my research, my symptoms started to get worse. I started to have terrible memory and word recall. Like I could barely remember the words to my sentences.
Wow.
I had like chronic fatigue where I could not recover from sleep. I felt like I had to sleep all the time just to get through the day. I wasn't recovering from my workouts. My hair was falling out. I started to have terrible, terrible acne and dry skin. Though I exercise and I work in a gym, I was like, well, maybe wearing, you know, wet clothes all the time because I'm always working out. I was having yeast infections and bacterial vaginosis. So I was going to the doctor to try to get antibiotics for that, which ruins everything. Antibiotics,
right.
I just, unless they're completely necessary, I will not take them.
For sure.
I had no libido whatsoever. That was, oh my gosh, that was so embarrassing. You're like, I was back together with the love of my life. And I'm like, sorry, I'm not feeling it. It's just like the list went on. And I was like racking my brain. So a friend of mine recommended this book called Estrogeneration by Anthony J, who's a PhD. This book blew my mind. But it just talked about all of the exposures to estrogens in our environment. And so I started just kind of detoxing my entire life from my environment to everything that I ate and just thinking maybe that will help. So we got rid of all of our plastics. We got an air filter for our house. We changed our water over to like all kinds of filters. All of our products were natural. We changed our sheets. We changed our clothes. We changed our beauty products. Everything was like a complete overhaul of just getting rid of any potential toxins. And it helped a little bit, but I could not shake the chronic fatigue. I had like terrible digestion issues. And then I started to develop heart murmurs.
Wow.
Where like I'd just be sitting and then my heart would just flutter out of my chest as if I had a mini heart attack. And I was like, I'm supposed to be healthy. What the heck? And so that's when I was like, you know, I've heard people say something about breast implant illness. Maybe it's that. So I started looking into that. And a friend of mine who goes to my gym was talking about getting hers removed too, because she had all the same symptoms.
Wow.
And I had gone to the doctor multiple times and they're like, oh, you probably have a thyroid disease or you probably have this and that. And here's the medication for it. And I'm like, no. I cut out birth control and everything like 5 years ago and, you know, thinking that would help and like nothing helped. And so I brought up to my doctor, I said, what about breast implant illness? And they were like, that's not a real thing. It doesn't exist.
Crazy.
It's only something that women say to put blame on something that's not real. And I was like, okay, well, I don't trust your opinion on birth control, so I'm not going to trust your opinion on breast implant illness when thousands of women are complaining about this.
Right.
So there's this Facebook group that my friend sent me called Breast Implant Illness and Healing by Nicole. And I can't even say how many thousands of women are in this group. But when I joined it, it was like entering a new dimension of support that I didn't know existed. All of these women talking about the same symptoms. Most of them having had their breast implants for a lot longer than me.
Yeah.
10, 20, 30 years with their breast implants and having symptoms. And I was like looking at these and I was like, oh my gosh, I don't want to develop into these like diseases.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if this is the onset of the symptoms that they're describing, I want them out now.
Yeah.
Because like the potential for it to get worse was horrifying. And so the friend that I had mentioned earlier, she booked a consultation with a surgeon in Huntersville, which is where we live now. And she was like, Noelle, I am going to meet with this guy in December. So this was last year. I'm going to meet with him in December. And she did all her research. She was sending me all the surgeons that she had looked into. And this guy had like the best ratings. And all the girls in the Facebook group were saying that he was the best. And he was in Huntersville, which is like, wow, 15 minutes from where I live. So I was like, okay, this is great. I don't have to travel for the best surgeon. He is 15 minutes from me. So immediately she told me that, I was like, that's a big commitment. It's really scary. There's lots of complications that can happen from getting them removed. I really like how I look with them, but you know, I also want to be healthy and right, want to have a family one day. And I would just hate myself if breastfeeding my children led to some kind of disorder in them and it's my fault.
Right.
You know, because that's where their nutrients are, so close to silicone, mm-hmm, which can leach the same way plastic leaches, plastic water bottles leach in a hot car and water.
Yep.
And I was like, you know, like, I just think about how I work in a hot gym all day, every day in the summer, and I'm constantly hot and sweating, and how much of that silicone is leaching into my body.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, you know what? I'm just get them out of me.
Yeah.
I'll deal with, if I look deformed, but I'm healthy, so be it. I do right, not care. So it took me a few months to finally get the courage to book a consultation with this surgeon. And he is a busy man. So I couldn't get a consultation with him. It was like January at the time. I was looking in October. And so I waited till the consultation. My friend was saying, she was like, Noelle, he doesn't have any availability for surgery for like 4 or 5 months after your consultation. And so she was like, if you know for a fact you're getting these things out and you want him to be your surgeon before you even meet with him, just call and put down a deposit for a surgery date.
Yeah.
And they'll book your surgery date before you have the consult. So I did that. I called and I just put down like a $2,000 deposit and got my surgery date locked in. And so when I met with him, I was like, I'm already getting the surgery. So you just tell me what I need to do. And he was very, very open and understanding of my concerns with breast implant illness. This is Dr. Bahardi from HKB Surgeons in Huntersville. I believe they have a location in South Charlotte too.
Oh.
So met with him, his nurses, his staff, and everybody were so great. they didn't gaslight me when I brought up breast implant illness. But you could still kind of see that they're just like, oh, are you experiencing symptoms of breast implant illness? Is that why you're getting them out?
Right.
It's like, they're not completely sold on the idea, but they don't, at least they don't just like brush it off. Like it's not.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I was like, yeah, I'm having symptoms. I just want them out. So, my surgery date wasn't supposed to be until April of this year. So this month, but because of COVID, so many people were testing positive and they had a whole bunch of cancellations. So they were able to bump me, because I put down my deposit, bump me to like 2 weeks after my consultation in January.
Oh, wow.
I was shocked. Like we had our entire year planned around this explant surgery. So like, Cody and I got married last year. We were planning our honeymoon around my surgery. So we didn't want to go on our honeymoon while I was in recovery. So we were thinking like maybe late fall, once I've had some time to recover and get back to normal.
Yeah.
We also want to conceive this year. So we're like, I want to make sure that I've detoxed post-explant, that my hormones are better, that I'm just ready to carry a child before we conceive. So the January date was great.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I was like, okay, we can get the ball rolling way faster than we were expecting.
Totally.
So, yeah, I got them removed January 17th. And I guess it's 3-4 months post.
What was that? What has your experience been since you've had, you know, a good 3-4 months? Well, I guess I should ask first, like, what did you do? Because you mentioned detoxing, so post-surgery. So what things have you done to assist your body in kind of recovering?
At first, I guess the first 2 weeks, I was on a bunch of medication. So more antibiotics. I asked him too. I was like, are there medications I can just not take, please? I don't want to take pharmaceuticals if I don't have to.
Right.
And you have to take the pharmaceuticals, Noelle. You can't have an infection post-surgery. And, you know, so I took them and took lots of probiotics as well, which I still don't really believe in those fully. But I did what I had to do the first 2 weeks. And then I didn't want to start a detox plan without some guidance.
Mm-hmm.
As a nutrition coach and CrossFit owner, I speak very passionately to my clients about test, don't guess.
Yeah.
'Cause you can royally mess yourself up if you just read a book or listen to somebody's podcast or see what somebody else did. And like, that's not what your body needs.
Sure.
So, I've tried that before and messed myself up. So I wanted to find a holistic clinic that I trusted and believed in, with some guidance. 'Cause I don't trust conventional medicine for holistic help. So I did some research and I found Holistic Charlotte in Fort Mill. And made an appointment with them for a consultation. I actually talked to them about doing a partnership with my gym so that I can refer people to them for preventative healthcare.
Yeah.
The right way. And so they ran lots of blood work, and they tested for optimal levels versus conventional standards.
Sure.
And the doctor I met with explained it really well. She said, when you go to LabCorp or a doctor and you just get lab testing, the standard ranges are simply based on all the people who have gone through the lab. So it's not based on optimal health. It's just anybody that goes to the lab, healthy, unhealthy, whereas the majority are unhealthy. Mm-hmm. So those ranges aren't going to be really what you're looking for.
Yeah.
So she showed me my results, which were fascinating. But I've had the Dutch test done before and they said that I had low estrogen and low testosterone, a sluggish thyroid, and I was shocked, first of all, about my hormones, because I read all about estrogen dominance. And that's just like, I guess that's just the most popular thing right now that everybody's talking about is estrogen dominance.
Right.
So I thought that I was estrogen dominant. So I took DIM for a long time just to help detox estrogen, thinking that was my problem.
Yeah.
Not my problem at all. If anything, I don't produce the necessary hormones to have functioning estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, to help me with fatigue and all of that stuff. Mm. And I contributed that to being on birth control, definitely,
sure.
For many years. But also just the thought that having silicone in my body for the time that I did, probably contributed to that.
Mm-hmm.
So, got some labs done, and they recommended all kinds of things for me to start doing. So my lipid levels were low, meaning I wasn't getting enough healthy fats in my diet, which everything comes full circle. Most vitamins and minerals are fat soluble. So, if you know anything about plastics and estrogens and toxins, they deplete your body of vitamins and minerals.
Yeah.
And if you don't feed your body what it needs in order to carry those to the appropriate places in your body, then you're not going to hold on to them, or you're not going to absorb them from your food.
Mm-hmm.
So they recommended that I do the sauna 3 to 4 days a week, infrared preferably, and she recommended the far wavelengths. I think there's like near, mid, and far.
Okay.
For infrared saunas. So most of them, wherever you go, are going to have all three of those. But if you had to get one for at home, to go with the far infrared.
Okay.
So sauna, drink more salt with my water. Mm-hmm. So I got some Celtic salt and Himalayan sea salt, which I always knew that. I thought I was getting plenty of salt, but clearly not enough. And a lot of people think that if you cut out salt, that, you know, that's, we could go on for days about that, but you need more salt in your diet, more protein and fats. Mm-hmm. So she recommended more red so that I could have more B vitamins, because all of that gets depleted from birth control and estrogenics. Yeah. And then lots more fat. So that was interesting, because as a CrossFitter, we mostly prioritize carbs and protein.
Yeah.
But fats are just as important for healthy hormones and performance and sleep and recovery and energy. So I've just simply been adding like olives, nuts and seeds, grass-fed butter, ghee, avocado oil, coconut oil, almond butters for healthy fats.
Yeah.
One of the things that was surprising in my labs was that I tested positive for an autoimmune disease. And that was my biggest fear about implants, because that was the number one complaint in that Facebook group, where most women had some kind of autoimmune disease that they contracted.
Mm.
And I can't say for certain that I got it from my implants, because there's no telling, you know, just in our environment these days, but
totally.
They would have to do further testing to know exactly what kind of autoimmune disorder it is. So I just started thinking about maybe what runs in my family or things like that. But the protocol for somebody who has an autoimmune disorder is to go on an anti-inflammatory nutrition lifestyle. I don't use the word diet because that's not real.
Right.
So she recommended that I go gluten-free and grain-free and just see how that plays out. I have been doing that for 2 weeks, and I am never, ever going back. Gut health is like night and day better. Oh my gosh. And when I say gluten-free, that doesn't mean that I just go and buy things that say gluten-free on them.
Right.
That means I do not touch bread. I do not touch anything with flour or anything related to gluten. Everything is whole foods. So the no grains thing I thought would be difficult. That includes oatmeal, wheat, barley, rye, amaranth. I think about corn. Corn is so genetically modified, it's obscene. Rice, yeah. No rice. I was a big rice person for fuel. So I have simply switched to beans, lentils, potatoes, chickpeas in very small moderation, simply because that's another estrogenic that sure. Dr. Anthony J mentioned. So I kind of stay away from that. But like those are my staples now for carb sources. Okay. That plus increasing my fats, increasing protein, which hasn't been much of an issue. Sauna, drinking lots more water. And then of course I exercise 5-6 days a week for an hour high intensity, which she recommended.
Okay. Gotcha.
You know, holistic things.
Yeah. So have you seen, I mean, obviously it's only been 4 months. So it's not like it's been a long, long time, but do you feel like you can sense or feel a direct correlation between getting your implants out and some of your symptoms seeming to improve?
It's interesting that you bring that up, but we're our harshest critics. So any little thing you're going to be like, oh my gosh, I'm not healing.
Yeah.
So I'm so glad that I video logged all of my entire experience with my explant on my page, because I went back and watched it today. Just in preparation, I was like, well, let me go back and kind of see what state of mind I was in
yeah.
before my explant. Watching my video and hearing myself list all the symptoms, I had to write them down because I forgot about them.
Yeah.
Listening to myself list these symptoms, I was like, oh my God, I dealt with this. Chronic fatigue, heart murmurs, poor memory, anxiety, sick all the time, poor workout recovery, hair loss, acne, yeast infections, dry puffy eyes, no libido, low estrogen, swollen tender lymph nodes, acid reflux, digestion issues, ringing in my ears and hearing loss, sluggish thyroid. Like all of these things were symptoms that I forgot about.
That's wild.
So needless to say, I'm like a brand new person now.
That's amazing.
My energy levels are incredibly better. My skin's getting better. My hair is way better. I haven't had a single heart murmur since I got my implants out. My memory and my word recall is tremendously better. I have less brain fog. I feel like I can hold my own in a conversation, which was leading to depression for me. Not being able to communicate with people, one, because of my hearing loss, two, because I couldn't form intelligent sentences, was causing me to have anxiety and depression.
Yeah.
And so like, I'm so much happier. My skin is healing. I feel like that's something I've probably been dealing with my whole life, probably because of gut health.
Right.
I didn't do myself any favors by getting implants, taking birth control, being on Accutane.
Right, right.
Ingesting all the things, drinking out of plastic, you know, living a non-detox life.
Sure.
But with just 4 months post-surgery, like, I would do it again multiple times just to feel better again.
Yeah, no, that's incredible. That's amazing. And I think, you know, it's such an interesting thing because being in the holistic world, I've met men who have taken a similar journey to you and who have had experts, and I've never heard a single person regret it. And I've never heard a single person say that see something like in their bodies or their lives improve, which is really kind of a test. It's really, it's frustrating to me and it's sad to me
that so many doctors are so quick to dismiss this as some sort of like physiological, like psychological thing that women have come up with, yet so many are experiencing the same thing.
For sure. For sure. I mean,
yeah.
You're no longer a patient.
Yeah.
So of course they're going to dismiss it.
Right. Well, and it's a massive moneymaker. So something else I was thinking about was the doctor that did your explants. Did you have any sort of conversation around, you mentioned he's a very busy man. Do you have any sense of how many explant surgeries these doctors are doing? Because that's something I was thinking about. I was like, I wonder for how many implants they do, how many explants do they have? Like, did they mention at all if this was a common thing, people coming in to get them out, or was there any conversation around that?
I should have asked for a number because I am curious as well, but I'm not sure. I know he puts them in, I know he takes them out, and I know a lot of women go to him to get them out. So
yeah,
there is a surgeon in Charleston, South Carolina. Oh my goodness, I forget his name. It starts with a C, but he's like, I think he specializes in explants, and that's mostly all he does.
Yeah, it's
incredible. Dr. Kramer or Crank, something like that.
Okay.
But yeah, best decision. And to my point a little bit earlier, I was worried about being deformed and having like lesions, a larger scar, which the scar has to be, the incision had to be bigger to get those implants out. And so when they take them out, you want to make sure, for any listeners that are considering this, you want to make sure that you get a total capsulectomy. So we're looking for an explant with total capsulectomy. So there's a capsule that forms on the implant after it is put in. It's how it heals. It's a protective, almost like scar tissue that forms over the breast, the implant. And so what can happen, you probably heard of capsular contracture, which is a contraction that happens around the breast implant, and it can cause extreme pain. So women will have like emergency surgery to get it removed. And that's the capsule that's constricting. It's trying to kill the implant because it's not supposed to be in there.
Wow.
That's the body's defense mechanism of getting rid of it. So it forms a capsule. Okay. And so one thing that's really neat about explant surgery is your surgeon, most of them, will record a video and take pictures of the inside of your breast once they've taken everything out and cleaned it to prove that they got all of it out.
Okay.
And then they will also take pictures of the implant with the capsule still attached to show you that they removed the capsule. And then they'll cut the capsule off and show you what the implant looks like after. That is the most shocking thing, depending on how long you've had them. Some implants come out black. Some come out with mold on them. Some have like bacteria, and they'll submit them to the lab and everything.
Wow.
But mine, I always had pain on my left side, just like chronic pain on the left side, just sitting, doing nothing. And so when they took them out, the one on the left was shaped like a square.
Oh my God.
And the right one was normal. It was round with the capsule, but the capsule had started to contract. And so it looked so weird. It looked square. And so when he cut the capsule off, it was back to round.
Wow.
And so I'm like, man, I really dodged a bullet getting these out when I did. Because it could have gotten way worse.
Yeah, that's really incredible. So I know obviously you had a friend that was doing a ton of research.
Before you mentioned the Facebook group, which I'll get that.
If you'll give me the link to that, I'll get that too and put it in the show notes in case anyone wants to check the Facebook group out. But are there any other resources, like through your research, through talking to your friends, that you would recommend or send anyone to, like this book, this article, this doctor, this podcast, anything that you felt like was really helpful when learning about all of this?
Honestly, you can find so much out there. You just type in breast implant illness on Google and you will find everything you need to know. The best thing you can look for are like Facebook groups and not like one particular book or I wish there were medical right. journals about this, but it's not a point of focus. Right now we're in a paradigm where it is just simply word of mouth and testimonials and people's experiences. Mm-hmm. But in the groups, people will post pictures and videos of their bodies, their faces, the way they look. It just ages them so quickly.
That's wild. And
I think about people I know who have them and they're like always complaining about pain or fatigue or having all these issues with their gut health or autoimmune problems. And I'm like, you have breast implants. Get them out.
Yeah, it's that's got to like, be the full pictures on people would be really interesting to see.
They look 20 years younger, just happier. Their skin is a normal color. Some people like have gray skin. It's just, I mean, just think about putting plastic in your body. What that's doing, well, we drink it. But yeah. Think about something that stays there like 24 hours a day, every single day, hot, cold, you name it.
Right. Well, and something that really struck me when you were talking, the irony of you sharing, because I'd heard about the silicone implants. Obviously, I'd heard about that, but what I had never heard of were the gummies you were mentioning. And when you said that they use them on people who have mastectomies and they are linked to cancer, yes. I'm like, is this a joke? Like, is this? And did the doctor say that to you when you were going over those three options? Like, was he the one to bring up the link to breast cancer, or did you just do research and figure that out?
If you type in gummy breast implants, you will find they've been recalled all over the country.
Wow.
Because of the link to cancer and all of these other problems. Yeah.
That's so crazy. I can't even imagine the insane feeling of I just had a mastectomy and then I got something cancerous put in afterwards. Like, that's just mind blowing to me.
Yeah. I think there's a specific type of cancer that you get from the gummy breast implants. I can't recall the name of it. But it you'll see if you were to just Google it.
Yeah.
But I mean, to the point of knowing that something causes cancer and still opting in is equivalent to hormone replacement therapy.
Yeah.
For women who have menopause, is like, okay, I'm going to give you some synthetic estrogen to help with your menopause. It'll help your hot flashes, but you also have a chance of developing breast cancer and ovarian cancer. And they will tell you that.
Yeah.
Sometimes, not always. And it's like, pick your poison. Which one do you want?
Totally. Yeah. Nature all the time.
Right. Right. So, yeah.
Really, really crazy. Well, I'm so glad that, you know, I mean, I have things that I hadn't ever heard before in this. And I think it's really helpful. I think these kind of like testimonial episodes that I've done or just chats that I've had with people are always the most helpful, I think, because when people are thinking about either, you know, doing something like getting implants or getting them, it can be really intimidating to just, I think people are even afraid to like join a Facebook group and start asking questions, or, you know, it just feels kind of like inappropriate. Sometimes people are like, can I just ask people about their experiences? And I think that just hearing people's some of the most powerful things that we can do, because someone else on the other side of the world will probably hear this and be like, oh my, all those same symptoms. Maybe this is what's going on with me. So thank you so much for sharing all that. Cause I think it's just, I know it'll help someone out there who is, you know, not even thinking about their breast implants being an issue because some doctor has told them that's impossible.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And a second part of my detox I just remembered, was the whole reason I wanted to get them was because I thought I needed to look a certain way. And I completely detoxed my social media. So all of the women that I followed that I used to idolize as being athletic with big breasts, I unfollowed all of them.
Yeah.
And then found new, I just mostly followed CrossFit women because they're very small, gymnastics figures. And so now it's more of like thick thighs and big butt, which you can get naturally from weightlifting and eating food.
Right.
Versus fake large boobs. And I also, one thing I'll notice is it's summertime. So you're searching for bathing suits. And what are all of the pictures on retail sites of these bathing suits?
Yeah.
Women with wearing bathing suits that have perfect boobs.
Totally.
And I remember going down that stream maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, buying new bathing suits because nothing fits me anymore, and looking at these women and being like, wow, they look beautiful. Wow. Oh, I can't wear that anymore.
Yeah.
And then I was like, wait, whoa. Okay, get off this site. I'm going to go look for bathing suits from women that have flat chests and
yeah.
are happy to flaunt that, you know?
Yeah.
But it was powerful. Making me feel really bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's incredible. I think that's why women, you know, end up there in the first place is just that, constant comparison. And when you, whatever you surround yourself with is what becomes your normal, right? So it makes complete sense that you would want to detox that piece as well. So wants to, like, if anyone hears this and wants to connect with you and ask you more at your personal experience, especially if they're local or anything like that, where's the best place for them to reach out to you?
I would say probably Instagram DM.
Okay.
I manage 3 accounts. Well, like I said, I own a gym, so I'm way more active on my CrossFit Mountain Island account. So you can easily reach me there any day. So CrossFit Mountain Island is the gym that my husband and I own in Mount Holly, like Mountain Island area.
Okay.
If you want to watch my whole detox experience and my explant, videos and all of that, where I kind of just share everything that I went through, that's at _theconservativehippie_.
Okay, perfect.
So DM me either one, but the conservative hippie is my passion project. That's where I like to just get more information. I read a lot of books.
Yeah.
And meet with many, 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 many clients about their nutrition and their health, and I share experiences through them on there as well.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's great. And I'll make sure I get the direct links to those two and put them in the show notes. Can't find you or looking for you and want to connect. So that's awesome. So, well, thank you so much for sharing all this. I really appreciate it. I know it's going to be super helpful to anyone that listens to it.
I hope so. Thank you so much, Kelly. For anybody out there that's suffering, you are not alone. And if you are scared, just, I have done it. I love my new boobs. I love them. My surgeon did a phenomenal job. They're beautiful. They're small, but they're athletic. And you have nothing to be worried about.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking the time.